Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Peterson has done something allowable
within the rules
and shouldn't be slapped.
100%.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's not apples to apples.
That's why I'm saying that Bennett should have gotten slapped.
Confused.
That's why I'm saying Bennett should have gotten slapped for the
move. No. Jock Peterson explained it in the press conference afterwards where he outed Tommy Pham. He explained that he thinks Tommy's is a softy and like couldn't take just getting a meme and having some kind of kid.
That was a later element.
Clearly doesn't like kidding around. Like
yes.
he takes himself way
very
too seriously.
Serious.
He's a maniac.
Did something completely acceptable within the rules.
It seems like Tommy Pham used that as an excuse because he didn't like the gif.
He didn't like the jiting or whatever you call
it.
Yeah,
like again,
Now I'm understanding.
He was texting him
this
and kidding with him.
But it was building.
And he didn't like it.
Maybe it was building up. I don't know. You know. But here's the thing. If you're a fantasy football player. You do not. Were you leading the league at this time? Were you the league leader? Do you remember?
I think I'd done really well in the regular season.
Okay, so
I was up.
This was before one of your patented playoff collapses.
Jason
right?
has
last
proved
year
to be
I won the whole damn thing.
He's kicking ass in this league.
We're about
Jason
2 years.
Very formidable.
Thank you, Red, because that's the truth
like
that you're
Jason
telling.
Jason is dominating since joining the company. If you look at averages, Jason is kicking
exactly.
ass and taking names.
And now I have a title to go with.
Yes, and now he's got a belt. I mean, he's a stud.
You broke through like the Bucks, man.
But you got mad when a brother was getting along somewhere, and you thought I was about to add miles because of Bennett.
You did add miles.
You got real mad.
You did add miles.
No, a brother was doing some things and you got mad. You got mad that he helped out a brother.
I needed miles more than you. You were atop the league and Bennett, because he and I were jostling for playoff position, Bennett decided to help the guy who was already far ahead. Who your playoff spot was locked in, right? So you're not Bennett's competition. I was. And so Bennett helped the guy at number one. And I just feel like that was a move that, as we are seeing, deserved getting slapped. I mean, it's just the truth. You're not supposed
to. It's not talking about your wife.
It's colluding. It's colluding. Now, Bennett's
a
friend.
It's not a gift you said
I would never do that.
Text.
But I think that was a low moment for him. Right, especially as somebody he engages in fantasy in good faith. He used to have a show.
Well, you see, I mean, didn't he go on to win the league that year?
I don't remember who won.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he
like
did.
Last
Bennett
year, he won.
He
was trying.
Won. Yes, he did.
I remember because he was trying to repeat this year. And I beat him in the title game. He's trying to win back to back. So to John's point, this bad karma, this slappy, he went on. It didn't matter at all. He went on, won the title that year.
Yeah, but he lost Derrick Henry the year after, though, didn't he? He was not very relevant in these playoffs. He did end up getting there and winning a game, maybe. But
no, I beat him in the championship.
Right, karma. That's karma. That's exactly what that is.
Let's get to the real point of what's wrong here. Tommy Pham is a maniac who can't take a joke when it comes to a meme or a gif or whatever showing it. The guy clearly is a maniac.
Well, he said I'm a high roller at all the casinos I go to. That was what he said, which, by the way, is not something that you would say if you were actually that, I think. I feel like when you say that, you don't really know what you're admitting to.
This dude was in Memphis, and he owes the Cardinals a lot because they finally got his eyes fixed so he could actually see a baseball.
Has Tommy ever been like a super high roller? He's had some good stretches, but he's never been like this paid guy in baseball.
No, the Cardinals got him right and stuck with his ass, and then I don't think they re-signed him, obviously. But he's been a good player. He was in that series a couple he's played good baseball for the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wild story.
Strange story.
Very weird.
But, you know, look, whether it was true, if I had to say, is it truly about fantasy football? It's not.
It's about not. Tommy Pham as a nutball.
It is. And it's about him, like, not being able to handle, like, because I'm assuming he said he called himself a big dog in Vegas. That's what he called himself. And then he said a high roller at many casinos.
Now, to Jock Peterson's side, though, Jock probably needed to be slapped because of that stuff he was doing with Anderson, right? Isn't that the same dude? Who was the guy that was saying bad stuff to Anderson from the White Sox?
That was Donaldson.
That was a different cat. Yeah. Okay.
No, that was not him. Yeah.
All right, well, then disregard that. But I think Tommy Pham's a maniac.
Well, his behavior certainly suggests that. And
he's a $500,000 player for the Reds right now.
I mean, I'm never going to – you know, I'm in fantasy football leagues with, like, several – you know, former professional athletes. I will not be getting in one with him.
No,
like, you kidding me?
Yeah, how's he a high roller making $500,000?
He's really been around about a half mil to three quarters.
I think
quarters
he's just like totally making that up.
Exactly.
Like, you're just totally, you know.
Hey, calm down.
Calling yourself a big dog in Vegas, like.
And the fact that you get this tense over this kind of stuff in the group text or whatever, it just tells me.
Yeah.
You're hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, like, you go, if you go, let's say.
He's getting three games, by the way. That's the latest. He's going to get a three-game suspension.
He's just in a volcano waiting to erupt.
Yeah,
you go to Vegas, drop $15,000 on a weekend, bro. That does not make you a big dog. That makes you just like anybody else that goes to Vegas.
We can assume that Tommy is that guy who is clearly just a hothead. I mean, pretty apparent here.
Oh, absolutely. But I do think, like, as we are, everybody's thinking about, like, fantasy coming up and who the big-time players are going to be and where, how soon am I going to need to draft Devontae Adams to keep him away from you clowns. I do think this should serve as a cautionary tale. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think this should serve as a cautionary tale, you know, specifically a warning to Bennett no funky business next season, man. You got your one. Nothing happened to you. You won the title, but let it be an inexpensive lesson, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the, you know, and if that, I don't know how you want to interpret that.
I'll just let you scrubs continue to battle it out at the bottom of the mountain.
There you go.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So you broke through. You're Giannis right now. But
he's a stud, man. He's been kicking ass in this league. Don't toy with him.
You know what happened with Giannis after that? He didn't make it out of the second round.
Well, he didn't have minutes this year.
So
have his buddy.
I'm more interested in the response to the championship than I am the championship.
You're gonna see.
Because you were knocking on that door for a while, you know.
I won't just fall off like you did.
But here's the thing.
He's Brad consistently at the top.
Oh, I'm a very volatile fantasy football player. Like, I will either win it or I will be at the bottom.
Not making the playoffs, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very, like, we've gone through
very
some regime changes, you know, some different names.
But again, folks, that's you. Yeah. Very extreme.
100%. It's either going to be really, really great or really, really horrible. There is no in-between. Although it kind of was last year. We didn't make the playoffs with Jalen Hurts. We were playoff fodder last year. We weren't happy with that. We'd have rather been horrible than do that.
Questionable GMing.
Yeah. Yeah. Jalen Hurts might have to ride that again this year, man, with all the weapons he's got, you know? A.J. Brown there? Be interesting.
Good luck.
Anyway, if you see Tommy Pham, run. He's probably going to slap you. All right, we will come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk about the NBA Finals with him and more. Jason and John.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Turn to FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today with Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Let's talk about fairness in the workplace and getting paid for the work that you do. So if you're not receiving overtime pay, if you're having to attend required meetings without pay, if you're working through lunch breaks, if you're a restaurant worker that's receiving server pay to clean or stock supplies, guess what? You're entitled to minimum wage. And in many cases, overtime pay.
Yep. That's why you need to call 756-5997. That is the number of our friends Robert, Rob, and Russ. So if you're having similar issues with your employer, they've recovered literally millions of dollars in unpaid wages for workers. This is what they do. They're advocates. They've spent their entire careers doing this, fighting for workers' rights. You can contact them today for a free consultation. Again, at 756-5997. Stop letting your employer get over on you. You don't deserve that. This is a team that will get you out of that. The Memphis-based law firm grinding for workers' rights nationwide. Again, they're at grindcitylaw.com or 756-5997.
Yeah, so the news, I guess, of the day is two things related to the Tigers basketball program. One is Lesh Quiñones has a couple of workouts before that deadline. Of course, he's got the Lakers today.
Yes.
And then
Golden State.
Golden State tomorrow, and then he'll have to make a choice. So that's the one bit. And then the other bit is the court, which we'll get to in just a minute. Let's just take these things one at a time. You know, you're getting all the designs.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Yeah, they're soliciting. They're totally crowdsourcing the design of the court. Be interesting to see if they actually go with one of these, right? Maybe they just take bits and pieces of, you know, the ideas and, you know, see which ones are the best. You know, with Lesh Quiñones, it really is. It comes down to where does he feel like he's going to make the most money? Because I don't think he's getting drafted, right? If he was getting drafted, it would be a no-brainer. It'd be like, go. Now, he may think he's getting drafted. Like, so that's the thing.
He's not on any mock drafts.
But, right.
Not one.
Correct. Which, the crazier things have happened, I suppose. But, you know, I just don't, is that what you really want to bet on? So I asked a scout who obviously is in privy to these conversations. I said, what's the deal? What are you hearing on Lester? He said, this was yesterday or Sunday, wouldn't be surprised if he decided to stay in. I do know he wants to go, but I just don't know if it aligns with the interests of others in him and if he wants to just be done with it all. So that was what one person that's privy with, you know, these kinds of decisions had to say, that they know he wants to go, but, you know, again, it's one thing to want to go, but you got to have somewhere to go to, right? I think that's kind of that's what they're trying to figure out over the next 48 hours. What can they solidly bring to Lester? And because in the end, if I'm him, I want to know, like, okay, if, let's say I don't get drafted and I go through this process and I have to hear 60 names that are not mine, am I going to at least have a chance to get a two-way deal? And that's tough too, because there's only 60 of those.
That's what I'm saying. That, you know, it's one thing if you got a first round promise. It's another thing if they can't, you know, even promise you, you know, second round. You start talking about two way deals and everything. It gets a little bit shaky again.
Oh yeah.
Again, and that's assuming that Lester knows what he can get from Memphis. That's already on the table. It would have already been established. Obviously, I mean, you know the deal there. So. Again, if it comes down to financial situation, I would have to think that they've made it pretty good for him at Memphis, considering the piece that he represents for them. It's a bigger. He's led this team in minutes. He's been among minutes leaders his entire career. But this would represent offensively. I think we were talking about this after the season was over, that he'd like a little bit more of the pie. Well, it's set up that way now. I mean, again, and you can create a buzz. Right, going into this final season of college basketball, based on what you've done in these workouts, that again, you've got some scouts who maybe weren't paying attention beforehand. After these work, they now are through the season. Absolutely. So you've already opened some eyes. You go in and put another good college season on top of it, like my guy from Kansas, what, Agbaji? Isn't that the kid from Kansas that went last year, was sort of a fringe guy, come back. Now they've got him in the first round, some as high as the lottery or right outside the lottery. You can go tell yourself, hey, I'll do that. Now, Lester doesn't have Agbaji's athleticism. getting to that point, lottery or right outside the lottery, probably going to be tough, but you've already opened some eyes. Go put another college season where the role for you is going to be increased in terms of as an offensive guy and see where you're at next season.
Yep,
especially if the finance is good.
That's right? The case.
If what Memphis is offering.
But we'll see what they're being told and what he believes he's coming back to at Memphis. These are all questions that will have to get answered in the next 24 to 36 hours. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is that, and people seem to be very excited about this. I was not on an island here about this court. Memphis is getting a new basketball court. The Tigers are getting a new basketball court next season. And what are the best designs? Have you seen a ton yet?
Yeah, well, there's one on here where you can apparently respond back with your own design and fill it in. You knew that. I didn't. And, yes, on one of them underneath the Tigers logo, they just wrote Maine, M-A-N-E. Just put, like, graffiti Maine underneath the logo, and then you got Memphis, Maine, and you're not going to have a more Memphis court than that. John was, assuming that maybe you pull out of some of these ideas, you take some of the best ones and sort of put it together. I'm not sure that anything concrete's going to come out of this thing.
I've seen some people put Penny's head in the center of the court. I've seen Nike courts where you script it with Nike to make that part of the deal.
Because in the end, isn't simple going to be better when you've had the last couple of courts have had things on them? Some say convoluted in a way, whether it was the skyline or all the blue and the. At one point, I'm not even going to talk about what that lane looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't you feel like you're going to go away where now you're looking toward the more simple?
Yes,
and
clean.
Maybe just a cleaner look. That
yes.
seems like the way you would go.
Yes.
So, again, I'm not sure the idea that you want to take submissions and all that, what's the point? You're probably just going to end up cleaner and a lot more simple than you have been on the last two courts. And it's probably the right way to go. I had no idea that this many people could not stand the ones they were on. I guess it had gone – I'd kind of – become desensitized to it and just wasn't paying attention anymore. But that blue thing, I guess, was pretty ugly.
It was blurry on TV.
You can tell by the response that Memphis has gotten from this.
And it wasn't like a good blue. It was like a faded blue. It wasn't even like a.
It's rough.
It was just not a. I didn't enjoy it ever, and I'm glad that they're moving on from it. And I think the very best thing they could possibly do is keep it simple. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do, right? That is literally all you have to do. Is just like one tone wood, make it like a blue and gray tiger at the center court. If you want to put the skyline on there, that is totally fine with me. If not, that's totally fine with me. You don't have to reinvent basketball courts.
Other thing Memphis did over the weekend, we didn't talk about it, didn't get to it in rundown, but they hired a baseball coach, and he's black. Becomes the Tigers' first black baseball coach, Kerrick Jackson. How about that? Had been president of the Major League Baseball Draft League. He'd been president of beforehand. Before that, had been a coach over at Southern, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and is coming in to replace Darren Schoenrock, who'd been there forever,
yeah.
18 seasons. So much like with women's basketball, after some mediocrity there, years
right.
of it, frankly, Memphis has decided to make a change and shake things up, and we'll see how well Kerrick Jackson will
do. Yeah, I mean, look, he didn't have a great record at Southern, but that's Southern, and I gather that there were some series in one of those years where, he beat Memphis, I believe he beat LSU.
I thought he had a nice turnaround,
yeah,
too,
he
initially
did.
When he first
yeah.
got there.
So I just don't know.
9 wins to 32.
Yeah.
Hit Corona, too,
yeah.
And all that.
Yeah, so it's hard to know. Like, I don't know.
He's been in some big programs.
I don't know what Memphis baseball is supposed to be, right? Like, I don't know what they aspire
like
to be.
You started sounding like you did on women's basketball beforehand.
Well,
it sounds like a similar way you started that conversation.
I know there's more talent, though. Can you get the baseball talent in Memphis to stay at Memphis, right?
Well, instead of going to the SEC, that's fair.
I don't know.
That's the million-dollar question.
I don't know. Like, and if you can't.
That's fair.
I don't know how.
Darren Schoenrock was not getting it, obviously.
Sure, exactly.
Or enough of it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean this, like, I don't know how ambitious you can be, and maybe they can be really ambitious. Maybe they can't. I really truly don't know what the ceiling for Memphis baseball is. We know what the ceiling for Memphis football is. We know what the ceiling for Memphis basketball is. Memphis football, you're supposed to be the class of the AAC, the non-power five every year. And if you have a breakthrough year, you can go to a New Year's Day bowl. Memphis basketball, you can go to Final Fours, be in the top 25. I don't know.
If you got the talent that's available in the region to stay even the seconds off the SEC, you could win the American.
Yeah, I mean, and kind of that's what Memphis football eventually started doing, right? They started taking, They didn't depend on Memphis talent even to do that. They got talent from elsewhere to do it, you know. So it doesn't even have. I mean, it's easier when it's here, and there's a lot of it here, and your olive branches and your CBHSs and all that. But yeah, that's a perception problem. It's going to take years and years to undo. So
college baseball, the coach programs do not give their job. He's one of only three black coaches, according to CA Story. Non-HBCU baseball coaches in the country presence. Wow. There's one at Georgetown, Edwin Thompson, and one at Presbyterian, Elton Pollock.
Wow.
They're outside of HBCUs. So Kerry Jackson is
yes.
one of three.
In Georgetown baseball, like I've never, I didn't even really have a baseball team.
That's the point, is yes. that you don't put black folks in these jobs to outside of black schools.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's a historic opportunity, certainly for Kerry Jackson. And again, John's question's a fair one. Can you keep local talent here in this spot? I mean, because that's what it's going to require. You're not going to get the top guys are going to go SEC like they've always done. Can you keep any of the rest of them? Can you go outside with all of your ties mm-hmm. and pull some in? Hopefully they can. Hopefully, just like with Merriweather, you bring in some energy, and that energy can lead to some big things. Hopefully a nice turnaround. We'll see.
Anyway, yeah, very busy day, very busy weekend for the Tigers over there. Busy weekend and a busy week upcoming week in the NBA Finals, where you're going to have some of the best shooters on display on the planet. How do they become that? By putting in the work and find that edge, find that advantage. Well, what if I told you that advantage exists right here in Memphis, at least one of them? That's Shoot 360. It's true. It's right here in Memphis. And look, if you have a son or a daughter who's looking for things to do this summer, right, great place to take them. They're going to love it. They can find out about their jump shot, work on their passing, work on their dribbling. It is a basketball haven out at Shoot 360, and it's right here in Memphis.
Yep. As soon as you step in, you're going to tell us, like, stepping into the future. It's the future of basketball training in Memphis is what we like to call it. Place will be filling up this summer, so you got to get over. Can do a one-year commitment. Have each month as low as $130 a month. That's what I pay. I've told you for CJ's 8 martial arts classes a month. That's only 1 hour. A class. This is unlimited access to that state-of-the-art technology. They're developmental coaches. They've got all the programs you need. If you just want your kid to have a little bit of fun, it's summertime, you want to burn some of that energy, no better place to go. They've even got the 8-foot goal for the kiddies. It's the future of basketball training right here in Memphis. Like we say, the future's now out at Shoot 360. Go see them out at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Not Jason Derulo. He's Jason Fitz. Catch him on Spain and Fitz. Catch him all over ESPN. Joins us weekly here on the show. Joins us now. Fitz, how was your weekend, man?
Jason DeFitzo, maybe we go with that.
There we go.
Way,
yeah, I like that.
One of the reasons I'm out on Jason Derulo as a talent, even though I really like some of his songs, is if you have to have a moniker that tells you everybody your name every time you sing, like if you have to go Jason Derulo every time you sing a song, then you're not identifiable enough. If you have to come in and tell everybody that you the best music, then you are not the best music. And I'm talking to you, DJ Khaled.
So, you're bringing it like, early today.
I'm just telling you, Michael Jackson never had to tell anybody he was Michael Jackson. Prince sure as heck didn't tell anybody he was Prince. Like, let's let our music be our identifiers, not our catchphrases. Woo-wee, Pitbull.
Yeah, well, you make some interesting points there. There's no doubt about it. All right, so we have a finals. We have a finals that is set, Boston and Golden State. How evenly matched are these teams? I mean, we talked about how sort of boring these conference finals were just in terms of the outcomes and how extreme the outcomes were. Are we in store for a classic NBA finals?
I want to think so. I think the one variable is that I do trust in the finals proof of concept so much, right? And so Golden State has a ton of that. Boston doesn't. We all know that. How this Boston team steps into this matchup, I think it's going to be particularly interesting, but you're 1,000% right. You got guys that can shoot. You got superstars all over the place, and you have two guys, Marcus Smart and Draymond Green, that are going to be the real – like, I think this series comes down to those two guys, and what's funny is that I could see either of them ending up being a finals MVP if they're able to accomplish the impossible of slowing down the other team offensively. So it's just two teams that can shoot really well, two teams that also play fundamentally sound defense, two teams that go after the rim, and a reminder to Memphis that you weren't that far off from being in the NBA Finals all at once.
For you, Fitzy, when it comes to Steph Curry, does he need a fourth title? Does he need a Finals MVP? That's been talked about a lot over the last week, 2 weeks. To cement anything for you in terms of his legacy?
No, not at all. And, I think we have to look at legacy. Like, if we're going to talk legacy particularly, then we need to talk about impact to the sport. And I'll always go back to last year and during college basketball season. I talked to Caitlin Clark, the women's basketball player for Iowa at the time. And Caitlin, much like Steph, can shoot from anywhere. And I asked her in the interview, where's your range? Where are you comfortable shooting? And she said, I'm a product of the Steph generation. I can shoot from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And you think about that, like, if you want to talk about legacy, basketball has changed the way it's played because of Steph Curry. So, like, what bigger legacy? And I'm talking about women's basketball. I'm talking about men's basketball. I'm talking about AAU basketball. Like, everybody has changed the way they attack the game. Like, Jimmy Butler pulling up for an open three-pointer to try and win a series becomes the right basketball play because of Steph Curry. Like, that's wild when you talk about legacy and impact. So I think you can't put enough credit to what Steph's legacy and impact is, and a Finals MVP won't add or take away anything to what he's been able to accomplish.
Do you think as a competitor, because I'm with you on everything in terms of perception of him, do you think as a competitor he is putting a pressure on himself to win one, having not, with that having gone to KD, obviously with him having not won one? Are you thinking in four wins, if he gets one, do you think he's putting pressure on him to get at least of one Finals MVP here?
I think he puts a pressure on himself for that process. And I also think if we're being fair about the way the guys look in the mirror, as you get older, you realize how incredibly special it is to be in the finals. And if you're Golden State, by the way, I think we're underselling Golden State, a team that has, three future NBA Hall of Famers on it and a bunch of bench guys that have played really well. Like, it's a well-built roster that deserves to be here. But if you're Steph and Clay and Draymond, you have such an understanding of how difficult it is to get to where you are and how many things had to line up the right way even this year to get there. I think that does create a little more pressure for all of Golden State because you know the moment you're in. Boston knows how difficult it was to get here, but the Warriors know how difficult it is to stay here. So I think there's a different type of pressure internally.
Let's talk a little bit about the Heat-Celtics game because there were a couple of items out of that. One is Jimmy Butler took the three in transition, didn't go. It's a make-or-miss discussion, right? If he makes it, we're having a totally different preview and discussion and all of that. He missed it. I don't know where you are on it. I know some people would argue you always take that to the rim, but look, regardless of the shot selection, I am going to live and die with that every single time because that's my best player, and I always want my best. I don't want to have a conversation like we had before with LeBron James where he dishes it out to Danny Green for an open three and he doesn't make it. Like I would like to live and die with my best player taking that shot, make or miss, every single time.
Yeah, and I think you're 1,000% right. You know, it is interesting because I grew up in an era watching Michael Jordan several times dish to people like John Paxson and Craig Hodges to make big three-pointers that won games, right? Robert Horry spent how much of his career being Big Shot Bob, right? And so we've seen secondary guys on teams make game-winning shots. But I'm never going to fault the star, the guy that has given everything he has for keeping the ball in his hands. Also, I can't speak out of both sides of my mouth when it comes to coaching. Like, we walked into that series and, frankly, the playoffs saying that Eric Spoelstra is one of the few coaches in the entire NBA that's a difference maker. So now I've got one of the biggest superstars in the league on a team that's supposedly the best coach taking that shot. That's got to be smarter than I am. Like, would I have loved to have seen a drive to survive for overtime? Yeah, that also presumes that that ends up the right way, that all the free throws are made and that Miami has any gas left in the tank for overtime. He went for the kill shot. I'm not going to fault that moment from a superstar player. Like, I think there could have been better basketball plays, but I also think that Jimmy Butler has every right to make whatever play he wants to right there.
And look, I think he would never say this publicly. Maybe he has a couple glasses of wine on a podcast later this summer and decides to admit it. But PJ Tucker's hurt. He knows they're not winning that game in overtime. Right? Like, I just feel like at that moment he was like, I got to go for the win here because I don't think my guys, as you said, have enough gas left in the tank to win this game in OT for another 5 minutes. We got to try to win this game right here, and I have no problem with that. The other thing in this game, and it has been obviously talked about, is the fact that they just decided to take 3 points away. They just decided to 10, 15 minutes after the fact when Max Strus makes a three that was counted as good, they decided with no explanation to anybody except the broadcast team that we're going to be removing 3 points. I hate that. I can't stand that. I think that's a level of transparency that's disgusting. It was not conclusive to me at all that he was out of bounds. Do you have an issue with the way that was done?
Yeah, I think the conclusiveness is a part of it. If it was such an incredibly clear replay that it was absolutely without doubt, then okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see a few minutes later saying, hey, we're catching up as fast as we can in this basket, not allowed. I wouldn't love it, but I could at least stomach it. I have a hard time stomaching it without a very clear replay that leaves no doubt. And the league, for as transparent as they are with their officiating, like, I would love for them to present who looked at the replay, what angle they saw, and why they were so comfortable
absolutely
that it was that conclusive.
Absolutely.
Like, tell me that. Like, so that's where my big issue is with it.
Because it changed everything about the game. Let's be honest. I mean, if that three is not taken off the board, then we're talking about a totally different sequence of events in that last possession for the Miami Heat, right? Jimmy Butler does not settle for that three in transition if that three never comes off the board. They're up one. They're up 1 point. So it changes the entire dynamic of the, and I know it's just one play and there's many shots in a basketball game, but that is one area specifically where that call, again, with no conclusiveness, changed in my mind a potential outcome of the game, and that's not what you want.
No, I mean 1,000%. Again, especially when you're a league that supposedly takes officiating so seriously that you constantly put out reports. And remember, like, reports that you can give me the 2-minute report constantly, it's not going to change the outcome. It doesn't make any fan feel better that's on the wrong side of that report. But at least if you're going to come in and say, hey, guys, we're so above board that we put this out every day, then you got to understand that everything you do follows a different level of scrutiny. You know, I mean, to me, this isn't even like the NFL equivalent would be pass interference that's up for question. This was an this wasn't a block or a charge, you know, Rex Chapman. This right. was this was an out of bounds call, and I fully expected when I saw the replay, the first thing I said is there's got to be another angle, and we've looked at every angle they've shown us, and I can't find one that is conclusive. I can find one that half the crowd thinks one thing and half the crowd thinks another, but nothing that is absolutely okay. This is fact at this point.
Last thing on NBA: does America want to see Golden State win another championship?
I think so. I think America hates KD so much that they're willing to root for Golden State, which is only funny to me because, like, last time I checked, Golden State signed KD. Like, I don't know why Golden State continues to just be Teflon, but they signed KD, and everybody still just has the problem with KD. And when did we reach a spot? Like, I know I grew up an 80s kid watching Lakers Celtics, but the Celtics have never been like the good guys, right? Like, so we have two like teams, franchises that have been more known for being villains lately than good guys, and everybody's all in on the love of Steph, and you know, let's watch Golden State do this without KD. Like Golden State didn't create their own KD problem. So I don't understand it. But, yeah, I think America is behind Golden State.
We didn't talk to you, Fitzy. We haven't talked to you since Saban dropped that bomb, obviously sending a message to his boosters about, you know, why they're not number one, but in the process running over Jimbo, running over Deion Sanders. What did you think of Saban going off, and what have you thought of the resulting fallout?
Yeah, I think it was irresponsible. And I think when you're a coach that steps in front of a microphone wearing a logo on your chest, you know exactly what power your words have. And if everybody wants to say he was talking to the boosters, fine. If he was trying to get a message out, he did that message without any specificity. What you have now is a $10 million plus paid educator, because that's what he is at the end of the day, stepping up and representing Alabama, which he was doing by giving out a claim of the law being broken. And I argued on Feinbaum last week, all week, with people trying to say, well, he didn't say yes. He said every player on that team's been bought, which would be illegal. That's far different than, hey, they figured out name, image, likeness. They can't. Like, if all Texas A&M has done is figured out name and image and likeness in a way that benefits them and they're still legal within the system, then why are we saying anything negative about him? We should slow clap that. And if he thinks that they're cheating the system, then he has the power to come with evidence. Anything short of evidence, and it's a glorified episode of Mean Girls where somebody's gossiping about somebody else, Nick Saban knows better. And frankly, Jimbo Fisher knew better in his response, saying, look back at his track record. All right, Jimbo, you worked for him. Give me specifics on both sides. These are two adults acting like children, and it's bad for the sport.
We're talking to Jason Fitz, filled in last week for Feinbaum. He's all over ESPN. Catch him on Spain and Fitz. What's the thinking behind the Raiders working out Colin Kaepernick? I mean, is this something that's real? I mean, what do you make of this?
Yeah, I think at this point it's a real opportunity to look and say, okay, is there something he can bring to the team that we don't already have? And for the Raiders, I don't think the team, given some of the negative publicity they've been a part of, I don't think the team wants any extra publicity at all right now. So I don't really think it falls in line with what you would want for a PR move. My biggest thing is, like, we need to start having two very separate conversations on Colin Kaepernick. One, which is a very important conversation, is how the NFL had treated him for the last several years. Now, apart from that, today, then there's a separate conversation of a guy that's been out of the league for several years, 36 years old, and coming in and working out to be a backup quarterback. And that creates a much different topic. I mean, I talked to somebody that covers the Raiders, and they said that they showed up at the facility over an hour before media time was available, and every single parking lot space was taken. Question that every team's going to have to ask is, are you willing to add that to your franchise if it means that there's going to be that level of attention for a backup quarterback? I think it's a tougher and tougher proposition, right or wrong. Based on everything that already happened, it's a tougher and tougher proposition today to sign Colin Kaepernick, even if you think he's a good fit for your team.
Fitzy, we've asked you about the AFC and how loaded it'll be, even asked you about the AFC West. But in terms of the NFC and the pecking order there, and particularly as it pertains to Green Bay, obviously Aaron Rodgers has earned the right. Hell, heck, he's fought for not being at OTAs, right? You'd expect a quarterback like that not to. But with that receiving core now have changed, with, hell, your Raiders having Devontae now, how much does it change, right, this new receiving core he's going to have, these new relationships he's going to form, in terms of where they stack up in contenders, where the difference can be so slight, right, when it comes to the Rams, when it comes to T-Bay? Is Green Bay still right there, or do they drop off a little bit because of the unknown?
Yeah, I think there is a small drop off. And no matter how great we think Aaron Rodgers is, we can't talk out of both sides of our mouths as a media when we talk about, oh, look at this quarterback that flew everybody to this destination so they could work out for 5 days together. And we treat that like it's this big thing for camaraderie on and off the field. Right. It's going to make such a big difference. And now we say, well, there's no difference in Aaron Rodgers not being there. Like, if there's ever been an OTA where I think it's important that he be there, it would have been this one. Agreed. Because you don't have your number one wide receiver you used to. I know Jordan Love Love's getting the reps, but that's not going to help them in theory. Like, if they're relying on Jordan Love's reps by week 10, then the season went off the rails anyway. But what they will be relying on is Aaron Rodgers to be the best of the best. And did they catch up with the Rams by him not being at OTAs? Because that's the exactly. compulsive mentality we ask every NBA player to have. But we turn around to quarterbacks and we're like, oh, it's going to be just fine. Like, the Rams are still better than the Packers, and they didn't help themselves with Aaron Rodgers not being at OTAs.
It makes me sick that the Raiders finally actually have, like, a pretty good, like, a decent to good roster, and we're just in, like, the most loaded AFC maybe in the history of the damn conference, you know, and not even getting into the division, right? I mean, it's crazy.
Iron sharpens iron, though. Let's
fun,
go.
Though. Come on. Yeah, exactly.
Iron sharpens iron.
Y'all got some weapons.
There's a lot of competition for prime time, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if all things were equal, we'd be on TV like eight times. But there's so much damn competition in the AFC that, you know, it's just hard. It's hard. Fitz, you're the best, dude.
Thanks
appreciate
for doing
the time,
this,
as always.
Have a great week.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Yep. He is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Monday, typically, on the show. Yeah, Dan Orlovsky had a tweet this morning, and it's just striking how many of these guys are in the AFC. He says, quarterbacks you win games because of in the NFL right now. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford. That's 11 guys. Eight of them play football in the AFC.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty damn tough.
Didn't have Dak Prescott on there. I know he's taking some flack for that.
Would you say you win games right now because of Dak? I thought about him.
When healthy, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's probably the guy who has the best case for an omission there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he can turn that thing over, though.
Sure he can.
He can turn that
thing
over.
He's got a ton of fourth-quarter comebacks, feels like, too.
But, yeah, I mean, it's wild, man. It's wild how stacked the competition is in the AFC. But you're right. It'll be fun. It'll make for a good year. Every game should be good. Every game should be competitive. So it should be a great year in the NFL. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come around the show. Again, finals, game one is set for Thursday. We'll continue to break that down here on the show all week long. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Coming up at 2, it's the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Mark Giannotto, lead columnist from the Commercial Appeal, and Jeffrey Wright, college football and BetQL analyst. Giannotto and Jeffrey, weekdays 2 till 4 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.